With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be looking ahead to all of the Championship action coming up this weekend, including a pretty big fixture at the Forest grounds tomorrow afternoon as Nottingham Forest host Derby. We'll be getting the visitors' perspective to come later in the hour. We'll also be talking a little bit about Blackburn, who had a pretty good result last weekend against Sheffield Wednesday. We'll also be talking about a bit about Cardiff City, who are against Bristol City, seen as a derby for some, going into the game on Sunday. We'll also be reacting to some pretty big managerial news as well. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp here on the Championship Fan Show. That number again, 0208 70 20 558, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, preview your Championship club's weekend fixture, the last fixture before the international break. As I said, we'll be looking through all the fixtures, but the big news today in the Championship is the news that the bottom club, Stoke, have got a new manager. They sat Nathan Jones this time last week, actually. It was on November 1st that we were reacting to the news that he'd finally been sat, maybe news that we'd expected quite a bit earlier than that, but he had been sat. They have responded quite quickly to bring in a new manager, and finally they do. And it is the Northern Ireland manager, Michael O'Neill, who's been appointed on a 3.5-year contract. He will take over the Championship club immediately. He was taking training this morning ahead of Stoke's game, which is away at Barnsley tomorrow, who are without a manager themselves. It's the bottom two in the table taking on each other. However, there is an interesting situation with this. So he is taking training this morning with Stoke, and he will take charge of them tomorrow. However, I'm assuming hours after that game tomorrow afternoon at Oakwell, he will then be switching his attention to Northern Ireland, because he will take charge of their qualifiers to come up in this international break, and they've got some pretty significant ones in their aim to qualify for Euro 2020. And also, he would potentially, if they got a playoff, for example, in March, he would take charge of that as well. So it's not as simple as him kind of ending his tenure as the Northern Ireland manager. He could potentially take over or keep going for not only these qualifiers coming up this month, but also potentially a playoff in March. Some news or some quotes from the Irish FA. The chief executive, Patrick Nelson, has said that we reluctantly agreed to allow Stoke to talk to Michael after they met the compensation requirements, which was supposedly around a £1 million settlement. Michael has now agreed terms with the EFL Championship club. Naturally, we are extremely disappointed that Michael is leaving us. However, we are delighted all parties have agreed Michael will be in charge of the Northern Ireland team for the games against the Netherlands and Germany and potential Euro 2020 playoff matches next March. Everyone in the Green and White Army family is grateful for Michael's inspirational contribution over the past 8 years. He's got a big job on his hands, that there is no doubt about it, at Stoke. But it does seem like a very sensible appointment. You think of the job that he's done over the last 8 years at Northern Ireland. He's had to get the best out of, I'm going to offend quite a few Northern Irish people here, out of an average group of players. I don't think that would necessarily be a wrong comment, an inaccurate comment to make. But he's had to manage a lot of Championship level players, and he's got the most out of them and has done a terrific job getting them to Euro 2016. So I think it's a very sensible appointment to bring in a manager that is used to working with players, even though on an international level, therefore not on a week-to-week basis at club level, but is used to working with this level of player in terms of the Championship and getting the most out of that. And you look at the Stoke squad, it is a squad that should be nowhere near the current position it's in. So you'd imagine that he'd be, if he was able to get the best out of the squad, they should be quite away from it. Obviously, Stoke currently sit bottom of the Championship, having won only two of their opening 15 games. In terms of his backroom staff at Stoke, it is expected to include his former Northern Ireland assistant Billy McKinley and ex-Newcastle goalkeeper Steve Harper, who is currently the Northern Ireland goalkeeping coach. He is expected to almost double his salary from Northern Ireland, which is around £750,000, and is believed to have promised significant resources to spend during the January transfer window. And that seems like a key thing for all managers, is in terms of, if you come in mid-season, are you promised the resources in the window to potentially ship out a few players that you don't want and to bring in a few players that you do want? As I mentioned, his first game in charge will be tomorrow afternoon. It will be at Oakwell against fellow Stroggers Barnsley, who are still without a manager. And then obviously he will go and manage Northern Ireland for those games, those qualifiers against the Netherlands and Germany, before returning back to Stoke. The next international break isn't until March, so in theory quite a long break between him maybe being in charge for a playoff in March. So that's the news that Michael O'Neill has not only taken over at training this morning at Stoke, but he is now the new Stoke manager, replacing Nathan Jones on a 3.5-year contract. So let's look ahead to all of the fixtures over the coming weekend. As I mentioned, we are coming up towards an international break, so these are the final fixtures before that break, so an opportunity to gain a little bit of momentum. The first game is a huge game at the Forest Ground. We talked a bit about it from the Nottingham Forest perspective yesterday. We are going to get the Derby perspective this afternoon. Nottingham Forest take on Derby. Sabri Lamouchi up against Philip Cocu, who certainly had to deal with a whole host of off-field issues. Wayne Rooney has been at the Derby training ground this week ahead of his move in January. We mentioned that game at Oakwell at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, where Barnsley, the home side, still without a manager, take on Stoke, who obviously have a new manager in the form of Michael O'Neill. Birmingham take on Fulham. Some of the Fulham fans in the office not particularly confident going into that game. A pretty poor record for the Cottagers away at St Andrews. Hull take on West Brom. Hull have been on a good run. 3 wins on the trot and an impressive win at Fulham last weekend, 3-0. They take on table toppers West Brom. Leeds are up against Blackburn. Then Millwall, who of course have only recently appointed a new manager in the form of Gary Rowett. They take on Lee Bowyer's Charlton. Preston take on Huddersfield, who are unbeaten in 7, and Danny Cowley is starting to get things moving there. QPR are at home against, under pressure, Jonathan Woodgate and Middlesbrough. Reading are at home against Luton. Mark Bowen has made an unbeaten start to life as the Reading head coach. Sheffield Wednesday take on Swansea in what looks like one of the best fixtures of the weekend. Wigan are at home against Brentford. And then on Sunday, another Derby game, Cardiff take on Bristol City. Looking at the table then as we go through it, currently at the top of the table, 3 wins in their last 5. West Brom have been the most consistent of a very inconsistent bunch so far. They're top on 30 points, 2 points clear of Preston, North End, Leeds and Swansea, who are all on 28. The final 2 playoff positions are held by Nottingham Forest and Bristol City. Bear in mind, Nottingham Forest do have a game in hand there. Their match against Reading a few weekends ago was called off, was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. So they do have that game in hand. And with that game in hand, they could move up into the top 4. Just outside the playoff position, Sheffield Wednesday are on 24 points. Fulham and QPR on 23. And I mean, you can keep going through. Charlton, Hull and Birmingham are on 22. Brentford, Cardiff, Derby all on 21. It is remarkable. And just talking about Derby, we'll talk about them in the next few moments, that they've had a pretty tumultuous start to the season. Let's just say that, not just on but off the field, obviously, as well. But if they were to win at the Forest Ground tomorrow, they'd go 1 point behind Forest. And yet Forest have made a very good start, and Derby, through many people's perceptions, have had a pretty tough start to the season. It just shows how nuts it really is. Now down towards the bottom, after 3 straight defeats, As we mentioned, Stoke do have a new manager in the form of Michael O'Neill. They travel to the team just above them and a point above them, Barnsley, who are still on the lookout for a new manager after sacking Daniel Stendel, which feels so long ago. We mentioned how Jonathan Woodgate is under pressure. He may be a club legend at Middlesbrough, but they have been sucked into the relegation zone. No wins in their last five. They are under real pressure as they travel to London tomorrow to take on QPR. Just hovering above the relegation zone, Luton haven't been in great form. They've lost four of their last five games. They're just a couple of points above Middlesbrough, just outside the relegation zone. Wigan are in 20th on 15 points. Also, just above that, Reading and Huddersfield, who a few weeks ago it looked like things were going pretty badly for them, but Huddersfield changed their manager from Jan Sievert to Danny Cowley. Reading have changed their manager from José Gómez to Mark Bowen, and things are starting to look up. And just above them as well, another club that has changed their manager. So plenty of clubs. You look in that bottom eight clubs. Millwall have changed their manager. Huddersfield have changed their manager. Reading have changed their manager. Stoke have changed their manager. Barnsley need a new manager. You wonder whether the likes of Middlesbrough, even though Jonathan Woodgate is such a highly respected man there, whether they potentially are going to be considering a change going into the week, going into the international break. Just a reminder of all those fixtures then in the Championship to come. Nottingham Forest at home against Derby. Barnsley take on Stoke. Birmingham are at home against Fulham. Hull take on West Brom. Leeds will play against Blackburn. Millwall are at home against Charlton. Preston take on Huddersfield. QPR are up against Middlesbrough. Reading are at home against Luton. Sheffield Wednesday host Swansea. Wigan play Brentford, and Cardiff are at home against Bristol City. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. As I mentioned, the big, arguably the biggest game of the weekend is tomorrow afternoon at the Forest Ground, and is Nottingham Forest against Derby. We had the Forest perspective yesterday, but up next we'll be talking all things Derby.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. As I mentioned a few moments ago, the big game of the weekend, Nottingham Forest are at home against Derby. And to get the Rams' perspective now, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Richard Cusack, Midlands football writer for Reach. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Richard. As I mentioned, we got the Forest perspective yesterday. It's now time for the Derby perspective. How much does this mean to you as a Derby fan going into this game away from home, and how that changes to it potentially being a home game against Forest?
Hi, Kieran. Thanks for having me on. I think, to be honest, Derby, Derby Forest game, there's nothing like going to Forest and winning away at the City Ground. It's just a fantastic feeling. I've been there a couple of times as a fan, a few times now, and that famous 3-2 comeback back in 2008, I think it was. The Craig Bryson game in 2013, the second half winner, that late equaliser and the 1-1 where Leon Best scored in the last minute. So those games, they're fantastic. I think I noted to somebody earlier on that there's a lot more riding on this game now for both sides. Derby and Forest have been so mediocre in the past few years when they've played each other. I know Derby have been up there, but Forest are really going for something this season, and obviously what's happened with Derby off the field and the way they're trying to sort of get their season back on track. It really, tomorrow it feels like for the first time in a while that this Derby versus Forest has something riding on it for both sides, which adds an extra spice to it. And like, there doesn't need to be any added, but this certainly does.
When examining the table, Richard, it was very interesting to see that despite the fact that everyone thinks that Nottingham Forest have made a very good start to the season, if Derby were to win tomorrow, they'd go within 1 point of Nottingham Forest. So that just shows that even though there's this perception that Derby have had a tough start to the season, they could go within a point of their rivals, despite the fact that the perception is that Forest have made a much better start to the season.
It's just incredible. It really is. Sabri Lamouchi rightly won Manager of the Month, I think it was, for September. They had a fantastic start to the season. They were unbeaten for 10 games in a row. I think they lost 2-1 to West Brom on the opening day of the season, and they didn't lose a single game for another 10 games. I mean, just to put it even further into context, I know Preston went top, didn't they, on Sunday. Derby win and Preston lose on the weekend, then Derby could go 4 points behind Preston. So, I mean, I've said this before to you a few times, haven't I? And I've said it on social media and to my friends as well, that this Championship's for anybody who wants to take it, they can have it this season. It really is. But teams that you thought might really set the table alight, like Fulham, for example, they're down in eighth. Stoke are struggling. Huddersfield, they are nowhere. They were relegated last season from the Premier League. So it really is. It's just fair for anybody who wants to take it. And I think that tomorrow is such a big game in the sense that it could really kickstart Derby season, or it could have a completely different impact. And it goes for both sides as well. I think if Derby get a win tomorrow, they can put all this drink driving stuff behind them, all the Richard Keogh stuff behind them, and kind of draw a line under it. It will also give Philip Cocker a bit of credit in the bank after the shambles in the Carabao Cup at the City Ground earlier on. It'll be a bit of a personal sort of, he'll avenge that game, and there'll be quite a few players who were sort of on the fringes of the squad who played in that game. I'm thinking of the likes of Graham Shinney, for example, who's come into the first team, really put his marker down and nailed down a first team place. He'll turn up tomorrow at the City Ground thinking, this is my revenge today. So there's a lot riding on it tomorrow for everyone. It's going to be a cracker.
Ahead of the game, you mentioned about the off-field issues. It's been very tough. I'll ask you about them in just a second. Philip Cocker has admitted that the sacking of Richard Keogh and the subsequent fallout has been a distraction to the team. He said, last week I said that this has a big impact, so we cannot say everything is gone. It still has an impact. Do you think that this is something that Derby will be able to just put behind them now and move on from? Or is it something that, because naturally the media will keep talking about it, that it's something that Derby won't be able to escape from, and it will be very difficult to just be able to say, oh, we're going to put it to one side and we're not going to think about it at all?
The best thing to do is to win games and score goals. I mean, you saw Tom Lawrence get a couple in the defeat at Middlesbrough at the weekend. The fans were on their feet. They were clapping, cheering. They were pleased. So you know what it's like in football, Kieran, don't you? And our listeners do as well. Score goals, play well. A lot of the off-field stuff, while you're not forgiven, I'm not saying that everything gets forgotten about, because you know justice has been served, and obviously there's a period of rehabilitation as well that you need to do in terms of your character. Someone like Lawrence and Bennett will have to do, and Keogh as well. But I also think that if you score goals, play well, that's forgotten about when it just fades into the distance a little bit. So the best thing Derby can do is to knuckle down. Philip Cocker is saying all the right things, he's doing all the right things. There's a fantastic interview in the Telegraph, Midlands writer John Percy did the other day. It's online, and that was a brilliant interview where Cocker was saying it's not about the here and now, although you want to do well in the short term. This is a long-term process. There's going to be bumps in the road. I've got a four-year contract, which is what he signed in the summer when he took over from Lampard. He's not here for the short term. He's trying to revamp the way that the players and the players in the club are playing from under 15s level all the way up to first team. So it's going to be a big process, a long process. But certainly, while we're thinking short term, a win tomorrow would really give everybody a big lift and a big boost, given what's happened in the last few weeks.
Realistically, Richard, could Philip Cocker have faced a kind of a tougher start to life at Derby? You think of the fact that Derby went very close to promotion last season. There was a good feeling. He came in and he's just had so much to deal with, from obviously the Richard Keogh situation to the drink driving incident to obviously the circuits that comes with Wayne Rooney, who's joining the club in January. People sometimes say, oh, should a manager be sacked now? But it just feels like with Cocker, he deserves that extra bit of time, perhaps a bit of a reprieve, just simply because of so much off-field stuff that's dominated. And therefore, as a manager, it must be so tough to be able to motivate and to really focus on a Saturday when there's just so much of a circus currently following Derby.
I think it's not just the off-field things as well. I think when you sort of analyse the situation that Cocker walked into and the problems he's had to deal with as well. I mean, don't forget, he had right-back Jaden Bogle out injured for the first few games of the season. So he was playing a left-back, Max Lowe, who'd been on loan at Aberdeen in the first half of last season, came back, got skinned at Leeds plenty of times, then went back on loan to Aberdeen for the second half of the season. So he was playing a player who had barely played any Championship football last year at right-back. He had to come in and take over Frank Lampard, who forged a fantastic bond with the fans, it has to be said. Doesn't count for everything, but it certainly can skew your opinion of a few things you read on social media, a few people you talk to. And Frank Lampard had his contacts. He brought the free loanees in that we all know about, took Derby to Wembley, got him 90 minutes away from promotion. So not only are you sort of following the footsteps of a manager who had such a good impact in such a short space of time. You're also trying to implement your own ideas. It's the first time at Derby we've ever had a foreign manager, so that's a culture shock of its own as well. Although, obviously, Cocu's Dutch, so he speaks very good English anyway. You've got him trying to implement his ideas. You've got players who were signed, for example, Shinny again, who was signed by Lampard in the summer in May. In May, and then joined in the summer under a completely new manager. You've got record signings in Christian Bielik trying to settle. So I can understand why fans got very, very annoyed at Brentford, for example, and then Charlton, the 2-3-0 defeats, because they were very, very poor performances. There's no mitigating circumstances for those sort of displays. But I certainly think that I'm struggling to think of a manager who's had a much more to deal with in such a short space of time, both on and the pitch and off the pitch. And a word to Philip Cocu for the way that he's dealt with it, because he's been exemplary. He really has.
Building into a huge game like this, obviously, one thing that people talk about is experience of these, not just big games, but these derby games. During his playing career, he experienced one of, obviously, the biggest rivalries in world football in terms of Barcelona against Real Madrid. Do you think, even though that was during his playing days rather than as a manager, that experience of those big games will help? Or do you think maybe the fact that he's not used to a championship rivalry like this may kind of count against him?
I think we had a similar situation when Paul Clement took over in 2015. A lot of the big billing was around how he'd been involved in the Clásicos with Real Madrid and Barcelona, and then obviously turned up to the City Ground. And I'm not saying it was all his fault, but Derby lost 1-0 thanks to an early goal from Forrest. So I don't tend to take too much notice in that. I just think it's the way his management style is. I think it all comes down to not only just what happens on the day, but how you set your team up. English football, English championship football is very, very different to obviously Barcelona, Real Madrid and PSV and Ajax in Holland. So I don't tend to take too much notice of that. Obviously, you can't discount it. I mean, as I said in that interview I read online yesterday, there was plenty of talk about how he came into Barcelona and spent so many years there, and he played alongside some of the greatest footballers the world has ever seen. So you certainly take that experience aspect out of things, but I just think it all comes down to the players on the day, doesn't it? It always does, Derby Day. It's who's up for it more. Nottingham Forest midfielder Ben Watson said it perfectly. He said it's who runs the most and who puts the hardest tackles in that wins you the game.
One bit of positive news from Philip Cocu's point of view is that Wayne Rooney has been visiting the Derby training ground this week. He says that his early involvement at the club has given everyone a boost prior to, obviously, him officially joining up in January. This is obviously, we're looking ahead to the future. It's impossible to predict anything. But do you think with what's happened over the last few months, obviously, Derby wouldn't have known what was going to unfold when they announced this sign in terms of the other off-field issues. But is there a part of you, Richard, that worries that with what's happened off the field, that with Wayne Rooney, it may be that he does some really good things for Derby and no one's counting that out. But at the same time, there is a huge media attention. And just when maybe Derby don't want that, Wayne Rooney, one of the kind of most well-known people in this country, is coming to Derby and will therefore bring a huge spotlight onto the club again.
We thought that with Frank Lampard, Kieran, and it did turn out to be the case for the first sort of few press conferences. Then when Derby were playing Barnsley away on a Tuesday night, it was the local guys and a couple of nationals. So it wasn't sort of, the press room wasn't packed every single day. I mean, I'm sure if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer gets the sack at United or something happens there, the press pack will converge in their thousands on Derby's Moor Farm press room. But to be honest, I can't see there being that much of a circus, if you like. I mean, obviously, when the news first broke, I think it was such a stunning story that nobody could quite believe it. So we all had to get down there, and once we saw him in the car for our own eyes, we were sort of thinking, "Wow, okay, fair enough, it's really happening." But I think that once everything calms down a little bit, and it all depends on where Derby are on the table as well. If they're shooting for promotion this year, then obviously there'll be a lot more interest. And if Wayne Rooney is scoring a few goals, it really depends on how he gets on and what sort of position Derby are in. Because there won't be much of a story if he's just doing a few playing here and there and not scoring much, and Derby is still floundering in mid-table. If he comes in and scores five in his first four or five games and Derby are winning and they're climbing the league, then you know how it works, Kieran, and the fans know how it works as well. and there'll be plenty of interest. So it's kind of a wait and see at the moment, to be honest. But I do have to pinch myself every time somebody reminds me or asks me what they think about it, because I still can't believe it myself.
And just one final thing then, Richard, on tomorrow's game. It is a massive, massive game. Derby know that with a win, they could go within a point of Forest and they'd be, well, probably suddenly jettisoned into the conversation about a playoff position. It just shows how crazy the Championship is. How confident are you that the Derby can go and get a win? Or are you looking at it and thinking, away from home, your big rivals, a point wouldn't be a bad point?
Well, I can't really think of too many games that have sort of been won by more than one goal at Derby Forest, apart from obviously the 5-2 at the City Ground and the 5-0 at Pride Park a few years ago. They tend to be very, very dull affairs and very sort of and very dry affairs. It's an early kickoff as well, so the fans might still be a bit sleepy, or I'm sure they'll make sure they're in fine voice. But I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw, I think. I think a point would be good for Derby on the road, and I think that the way that they're playing, and if they play that diamond again with Tom Lawrence at the tip of the diamond and Jack Marriott and Chris Martin up front like Cocu did for the first time last week, I think they'll certainly have a goal in themselves.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Richard. That was Richard Cusack, Midlands football writer for Reach, previewing a pretty significant game at the Forest Ground tomorrow. It is Nottingham Forest against Derby. Forest start the game in fifth on 25 points, although they do have a game in hand around, on the teams around them because of that postponed game against Reading a few weeks ago. Derby are in 15th, so 10 places below them, but a win could put Derby within a point. It just shows how nuts it really is that top-placed West Brom are only 9 points ahead of 15th place Derby. I mean, just even saying that is utterly ridiculous, and that just shows that it is so wide open that Derby, who've had all these off-field issues to deal with, such a poor start to the season, they suddenly could be jettisoned into playoff talk if they win tomorrow. It's crazy. But a big game at the Forest Ground for both Nottingham Forest and Derby. It's the early kickoff, 12:30, I think, tomorrow afternoon.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, which we all hope you do, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp. So make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Just a reminder of all of the Championship fixtures to keep an eye out as the weekend goes along. So we were just talking about Forest against Derby. Barnsley take on Stoke, and we mentioned Barnsley are without a manager at the moment. Stoke have just appointed Michael O'Neill, so an interesting game to look out for. They're Oatwell between the bottom two clubs. Birmingham are at home against Fulham. Hull take on West Brom, who are top of the table. Leeds take on Blackburn. Millwall are at home against Charlton. Preston take on Huddersfield. QPR are against Middlesbrough. Reading play Luton, then Sheffield Wednesday take on Swansea, Wigan play Brentford, and Cardiff are against Bristol City. So looking through those games as to what the ones that kind of jump out at us, we talked about Forest Derby, which for obvious reasons, being a local derby, is one of the big games and takes precedent as the first game of the weekend. Then, obviously, that Barnsley-Stoke game at Oakwell has a lot riding on it because of the bottom two sides. Barnsley, I'm just so surprised that they still haven't appointed someone. It's all well and good saying that you're going to sack a manager and that they're fully justified to think that Daniel Stendel isn't the man to take them forward. That's kind of fine. However, surely if you're going to sack someone, you have someone in mind. That for me is what I never get with football clubs. Yes, you can make that decision that the person that's currently in the position that you think I don't think he's the right man, and that's fine. However, you've then got to identify someone that you feel is the best fit for the club. And you've got to think of someone that you feel would do a better job than the current one, because there's no point replacing a manager with someone else if then there's no one quite clearly that's going to do a better job. So that's what I find strange. But Barnsley, without a manager, still looking for one, and Stoke, who've already changed and have moved on to Michael O'Neill. I think looking at Preston Huddersfield, Preston are right near the top of the table. And Huddersfield are on a 7-match unbeaten run under Danny Cowling and have moved away from the relegation zone. So that's one to keep an eye out for. Sheffield Wednesday are up against Swansea. That's another big game between two sides near the top of the table, up in the top 7 or 8 in the Championship. And also Cardiff taking on Bristol City. A bit of a rivalry there between the two, a bit of a derby game. So that's a big game at Cardiff on Sunday. And to preview that game, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Ben James, writer and founder of The View from the Ninian podcast. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Ben. Before we look ahead to that game on Sunday afternoon, just a look back on last weekend's win, 4-2 home win against Birmingham. How will Neil Warnock react to that win? Will he be thinking it's another 3 points and Birmingham have made a pretty solid start to the season mid-table? Or will he be looking at and think there are concerning things? For example, what strikes me is a Neil Warnock side conceding 2 at home in the Championship isn't something that happens particularly often.
No, I think with everything that happened at Swansea the week before and the reaction we got last week where there was a bit more grit and we came through it by scoring 4 goals, I think he's going to kind of have to take all the positives he can from it. I think there are still some concerns. I think if you look at the stats for the Birmingham game, we something like 35% possession, which means they're not keeping the ball. Two of our goals came from penalties. One was a very scrappy goal from open play. So I think there's still concerns there. But I think getting the 3 points on the board after an atrocious performance at Swansea, beating a team who are kind of in and around the same areas as in the league and coming through that game basically unscathed. I think we've got a suspension from it, but everyone came through uninjured. Then I think there's positives that he'll take from it.
Looking then ahead to this game, quite a lot of team news to digest from Neil Warnock, and it's not necessarily particularly positive from the manager. First and foremost, Joe Rules, who scored a hat-trick in that game. He's a doubt with a groin issue. If he is to miss out, how big a miss would he be this weekend?
I think he's a big miss. I think he's the kind of the engine room we have. There's no midfielder like him really that gets up and down, that breaks at play, but also kind of leads the attack. I think he's our top scorer now. I think he's on about 5 goals this season, albeit 3 of them coming last week in the Birmingham game and 2 of those coming from the penalty spot. But I think he's our focal point in the midfield because as much as Marlon Pack and Leandro Bacuna and Lee Tomlin are good players, Riles is just a different type of player to all 3 of those really. And I think if he were to miss out, I hope he doesn't, but if he were to miss out, I think we would go. It would take some replacing, in my opinion.
Sean Morrison is also out injured. It's unknown as to exactly the length of time that he's going to be out. But with players like Sean Morrison, is the kind of the bigger reason why they're going to be such a miss is the leadership on the field, mm-hmm. more so than necessarily just the on-field ability?
Yeah, and I think we've seen that this season, really, that him and Aidan Flint are both good defenders in their own right, but when they're together, they just don't seem to work very well together. I think they're, the deficiencies they have in terms of pace and in terms of their kind of ability to react to things doesn't benefit each other quite well. And I think as much as I like Sean Morrison, and he is our captain, I think him missing is a good thing to some extent, because it gives us an idea of trying out someone like Curtis Nelson alongside him, who started last week and got a goal. And I think as much as Morrison is our leader, I think he's due a break this season. He's been playing with 2 broken wrists, I think, or he broke his one wrist against Swansea and was playing with a hand injury from before that. And I think we have leaders elsewhere on the pitch. I think if you look at people like Marlon Pack, people like Joe Riles, and even to an extent, Aidan Flint and Neil Etheridge, I think those 4 can step into that leadership role and kind of divvy it up between them. So I think we will miss his leadership, but I think there's players there who can step in. And I actually think it's a good thing, really, that one of those players, be it Flint or Morrison, had to drop out.
There are plenty of issues for Neil Warnock in terms of the forward options. Who's going to play up front? Players out injured. Danny Ward suspended. So how do you think going into this game on Sunday, Neil Warnock will approach picking players in forward areas? What are the combinations he's going to go with, considering his options are quite limited?
I think the combination he'll go with, I think he'll bring Lee Tomlin back in behind Omar Bogle. I think the only options we really have in that forward slot now are Omar Bogle and Callum Patterson. I would like to say Gary Medin, but there's been a big question mark over if he's even going to be involved this weekend. He might be on the bench. But I think the way Warnock kind of positioned things last season with putting Patterson up top and bringing Bogle back in at the start of this season, I think it's really only between those two who are going to start. And I think against, if Joe Riles is going to be out, then Lee Tomlin is kind of like the natural player to come back in that midfield, because I think Lee Tomlin just gives us something different. He's not, you know, going to get up and down the pitch. He's not going to get stuck in like Riles and Pack will, but he'll link up between the midfield and strikers really nicely. And I think, you know, if we're not going to have much of the possession, it's going to be what we do when we have the ball. And I think getting the ball to Tomlin, who can then get it forward to Bogle and the wingers, whether the wingers are Hoylett and White, whether they're Murphy and White, Murphy and Hoylett, whoever the wingers might be, it's kind of much of a muchness at this stage. Lee Tomlin's going to be that key player in that midfield that links the defensive midfielders and the strikers.
A bit of free agency news for Cardiff fans is the fact that they've re-signed defender Armand Traoré in a short-term contract. He was involved with Cardiff during the 2017-18 season when Cardiff gained promotion to the Premier League. He comes in a short-term cover, is what Neil Warnock has said. Do you think that this is a sensible bit of business? Obviously, it doesn't require a transfer fee. It is only just on a short-term basis, but he's got experience at international level with Senegal, with 5 caps, and also does have a bit of experience playing for Cardiff.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the worst kept secret in football, really. He's been training with Cardiff, I think, since the start of the season. They said 6 weeks, but it felt like a bit longer than that, really. I think he was coming back off a situation in Turkey where his contract wasn't kind of held up as he was expected, and everything kind of went wrong there, so he came home. We needed cover at left back. I don't know why at the start of the season we let Cunningham go to Blackburn, because that left us with Joe Bennett as our only kind of out-and-out left-back at that stage. And I think Joe Bennett is kind of, he's been kind of coasting this season, which has led to him making mistakes. He hasn't looked like the same player he was last season, and certainly not the season before. And I think bringing someone like Traoré in, who's been around the club, he's been living with Sol Bamba, apparently, and they're really good friends. He's had so much good things to say about the club, even though he was only involved in a few games when we got promoted. He seems to really love Warnock. He seems to really love the atmosphere at the club and the team. And I think it's a no-brainer, really. If we can get him in for 6 weeks, and I would happily keep him till the end of the season, because he gives us something different. He's quite good in attack. He's quite good at defence. And he'll just give that competition for Joe Bennett. So I'm excited, really. I think he'll go straight into the squad for the weekend. I don't think he'll start, but I think it'll give him a couple of games to kind of get back into the match day squad. And then I think we'll see him start hopefully in a few games' time and see what he can do.
Heading into this game then on Sunday afternoon, it's against Bristol City. We had a Robbins guest a few days ago, and he intimated maybe it was a bigger game for Cardiff, that they view it as a bigger game than Bristol City. Obviously, it is a rivalry, and that's what I wanted to ask you about, because I kind of say it with inverted commas, but how do you view this game, Ben, as a Cardiff fan? Do you see this as a rivalry? Because geographically, I mean, they are in two different countries, but they are quite actually close together. How big a game is this for you in the context of a season? Obviously, you played Swansea a few weeks ago, which is obviously the big game for Cardiff, but is this still a big game for you?
Yeah, and I think it's a weird one, because as much as Swansea are, you know, they're our Welsh rivals and everything else, I think over the last sort of 10, 15 years, we've played Bristol a lot more. We've had, you know, good battles with them in the playoffs where we beat them and went through to the final and then obviously got promoted. This was about 15, 16 years ago now. We've beaten them at their place sort of 6-0, and that really hurt them. So I do find it weird that he would say it's a bigger game for us, when I think they're kind of... they kind of always come to our stadium looking for a bit of a battle and a bit of trouble and everything else. And I think... I think they're just saying that because they see themselves as higher up in the league and we're a bit below them now. But I think it's a big game. I think when you look at the Swansea game, we need a reaction to that. And I think Bristol will probably be in the firing line. I think we've got a few Bristol players in our squad, or used to play for Bristol, sorry, in Flint, Pack and Tomlin. So they'll want to get one up on their former club. I think, you know, where Bristol are on the table, they're sixth. And I think it's going to be a really good test for us. I think if we get 3 points, you basically only need a point behind them and we're back on their tails. And I think that's the important thing at this stage. If we can get the win, no matter who it's against, then we're going to be starting knocking on the door of the playoffs again, which is quite weird because we've been terrible this season.
I was about to say, we talked about Derby earlier in the hour and how if they beat Forest in their Derby game, they'll go within a point of them. And yet Derby have had a so-called poor start to the season. For Cardiff as well, it feels like they've been inconsistent pretty much like every team in the Championship. But as you mentioned, a win on Sunday puts them within a point of Bristol City. That just shows that if for Neil Warnock's side, they can just even be a little bit consistent. We're not asking for 5-6 wins on the trot. If they can just be a little bit consistent, they can suddenly find themselves well in the picture and also into those playoff positions.
Yeah, I mean, I would take 2 wins in a row at this stage. If we can beat Birmingham and beat Bristol, then I think I'll be getting the champagne out. But I think it's a really weird league this year. I think as much as we've had a bad start, and like you say, Derby are in the same position as us, you look at teams like Fulham, who have spent big in the summer bringing people like Nokiart, Cavallero and Bobby Reed in, and they're only 2 points ahead of us. And I think there's a real kind of gridlock in that middle of the table. If you look at sort of fifth all the way down to where Derby are in 15th, that's 10 positions where there's only 4 points separating the teams. And I think if you look at us, we've got a good squad, but we haven't hit the ground running yet. Birmingham have been up and down. Brentford should be probably higher than they are. Charlton are up there when they was kind of predicted to go down and that kind of thing. I just think this league is always an odd league, but this year seems tighter than ever. And I think, like you say, you know, we haven't started well. And I think that was where, you know, a couple of seasons ago when we got promoted, we had the first 10 games, we were unbelievable. This year, it's the opposite. The first 10 games, we've been really, really bad. We've been really inconsistent. But I think if in 5 games time, we're still in touch with the playoffs by a couple of points and we start to put a run together around Christmas and then go from Christmas into the new year, really hit, you know, with the fight, you know, the kind of accelerators firing, then I don't see why we can't get at least the playoffs out of this season. I'm sure a lot of teams are thinking the same thing.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Ben. That was Ben James, writer and founder of the View from the Ninian podcast, previewing that big game on Sunday for Cardiff. They're at home against Bristol City on Sunday afternoon. They do have a bit of a injury crisis at the moment, but a big game because, as we mentioned with Derby, they could go within a point of Forest if they win their big rivalry game this weekend, as could Cardiff with Bristol City. Bristol City currently sat just inside the playoff positions, but Cardiff win at home, which you'd probably say is maybe the most likely result. I mean, all three, I think, are probably pretty close. If you had a percentage, I think you'd be looking at them all around the kind of 30-35% mark as to how likely they are. But Cardiff would go within a point of Bristol City as well. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We'll be back after this.
Love Sport.
So plenty of championship action to be looking forward to this weekend. Plenty of talking points. We mentioned the news that Michael O'Neill has been appointed as the Stoke manager on a 3.5-year contract. And to just quickly go through the championship games, the ones that stand out, we're joined by Love Sport's very own Dom Betts, part of the Fulhamish podcast. Let's quickly go through some of the games for your club, Fulham. They're away at St Andrews. I know it's a game that you're not particularly confident going into.
No, I think that we haven't a good record there in recent seasons. If I look at the last two games, we lost in 16-17 when Ryan Frodrick got sent off, and then lost again, I think, was it 3-1? If we won that game, we would have got automatically promoted in 17-18. Obviously, thankfully, we ended up winning the playoff final. They've started the season well, which is very weird for a team like Birmingham City. I don't think they've really started a season well since the days of Gary Rowett at the club, and obviously had a fair few jobs since then. So I think yeah, it's going to be a very, very tough game for us. We're not in a good run of form. I think we won one of our last five. We've won one game since the last international break in that 3-2 win over Luton Town. And I remember talking to you about this, that we had this run of five games in between the international breaks. Yeah. So I was like, you have to be looking at it like 15 points, really. And then we've got three, or four maybe. So I'm not looking forward to this game. Mainly, the main point I think is going to be bad for us is you look at Colin, you look at Montgomery down Birmingham's right-hand side. You'd argue they're two of the most dangerous players going forward. And, you know, our left side is where we concede nearly every single goal. In between the left-back and the left-centre-back is like a key danger area for opposition people to target, because there's so many things you can point to. Oh, we conceded there. The Rodet red card was in that position. So I'm worried just because our record used to be good there. Like I've seen us win there a fair few times, but now it is quite a worrying game. And Birmingham, yeah, they start the season well. They're looking to push for the top six under Pep. So I think that I said it on the Fulham Fan Show Suite, I'm expecting Birmingham to come away with 3 points, and I think I said 2-1 Birmingham on the weekend.
Not Pep Guardiola, Pep Clote, not Guardiola. There were just four other quick games I wanted to just get your views on. We talked about Forest Derby earlier. I mentioned Derby, they've had a poor start to the season, according to most people. They go 1 point behind Forest with a win. Do you think that's likely, though?
No, but then one thing to look at is I think Forest are so much better suited to coming from away from home, because they had this way where they just soak up all the pressure and smash you on a counter-attack.
Luton last weekend, 2-1, and they only had about 28%
yeah,
possession.
Yeah, they smash you on a counter-attack and score two quick goals. They did the same thing at Craven Cottage earlier in the season with Lewis Graben getting both. So I think that it is actually going to be a lot tighter than people think. People are looking at Derby's poor start to the season. But I think the change in formation they changed to last week, we've put two up top, they looked a lot better, albeit, you know, it was a fairly easy win for them. Was it Wigan, I think, they played maybe? Yeah, I still think Forest will come away with 3 points here, because if Forest are to challenge, which it looked like they were a couple of months ago or a month ago, obviously they've come back after those two back-to-back defeats, then I think they have to be winning this game. So I do think they'll come away with 2-0 winners in this game.
Barnsley beat Stoke at Oakwell. Barnsley still without a manager, having not appointed someone since Daniel Stendel left. Stoke just appointing Michael O'Neill today. Who will be bottom of the table by the end of that game?
I'm going to say Barnsley.
Barnsley, are you surprised that they still haven't appointed anyone? What was the point of sacking Stendel if they didn't have anyone directly lined up?
Yeah, there's something dodgy about that for me. I just feel like... There is times where you do sack a manager and you don't appoint someone when it's like the end of the season.
Yeah.
And you give someone, you know, when you're already relegated or you're basically already relegated.
You give yourself time to think
about it. Yeah, you give yourself time. But they're not in a position where they can give themselves time to think. They're in a position where they can stay up. They've got players like Corley Woodrow, who is a very, very good championship goal scorer. You know, he's probably going to have to, if he's probably going to single-handedly keep them up with his goals. So... I'm surprised they haven't gone and got someone in yet. Maybe, I don't know who they're waiting for. They were looking at the old Ingolstadt manager who's currently out of work, but it just seems like the same route as Daniel Stendel. It is weird, but I do think, although Mark O'Neill's not going to be in charge necessarily, I do think his appointment could buoy the players, and I think they could actually get in a win at Barnsley, which won't be good news for, obviously, Dan Oakwell.
Sheffield Wednesday against Swansea seems like one of the standout fixtures. We talked to a Wednesday guest earlier in the week saying that they hadn't really beaten any of the big boys in the league. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, Swansea sort of have recovered from that shock defeat to Stoke just before the last international break, I think it was. Yeah. And they look a very good side now. And then, you know, everyone talked about when Graham Potter left, what's going to happen to Swansea? You know, Ollie McBurney left, Daniel James left. Are they going to fall to pieces? But they haven't. And they look one of the top sides who are going to challenge West Brom this season. I do think West Brom, even though they're not the team racing in front, I do think they are the team to catch, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It looks between them and Leeds at the moment, but you know, you look at the championship, it is so tight. Sheffield Wednesday, I think, are very hard to break down at home. Fulham found that we went there, we drew 1-1, thanks to a last-minute equaliser from them. But I do think this is going to be a score draw, so I think I'm going to go for 2-2 in this one.
And then Cardiff against Bristol City. This is another of those occasions where Cardiff could go 1 point within Bristol City, and yet the perception is Bristol City have had a good start. Cardiff haven't. Do you think at home, I said it's probably the most likely result that it's a home win?
Yeah, I think that the home team is always going to come up true in this game, and I think that Cardiff Bristol City is a derby. I don't know what they're fighting over the seven.
River Seven, yeah,
yeah,
maybe
the River Seven. I don't know, but yeah, I think this is always going to be a feisty game, and for once, I think both these teams, you know, they're challenging for the same thing. You know, often, you know, you had Cardiff at the top and Bristol City maybe pushing for that top six place, or Cardiff in the Premier League and Bristol City sort of sitting in mid-table in the Championship. But they're both fighting for the same thing. They're both fighting for that top six place. I don't think either of them are good enough to get automatic promotion, even though obviously Cardiff did get automatically promoted last time they're in the division. Again, it's going to be a very, very tight game, but I do think Cardiff will come away with the win.
Thank you very much for joining me, Dom. That was Dom Betts, Love Sports' very own and part of the Fulhamish podcast. Just a quick reminder of all those fixtures. Forest at home against Derby, Barnsley play Stoke, Birmingham against Fulham, Hull take on West Brom, Leeds Blackburn, Millwall against Charlton, Preston take on Huddersfield, QPR Middlesbrough, Reading against Luton, Sheffield Wednesday Swansea, Wigan Brentford and Cardiff against Bristol City. And that news that Michael O'Neill has been appointed the new Stoke manager on a 3.5-year contract.
This is Love Sports.